It's time for the Phenology Show. Phenology is the rhythmic biological nature of events as they relate to climate. And holy mackerel, what a climate we've been experiencing. I didn't think that it would snow this much this early, but we have, in my yard, I have 18 centimeters, which is about 7 inches of snow. And perhaps today and tomorrow we'll lower that a bit if we get some of that rain. And if the temperature does get into the upper 30s, why, we might see some diminution of the snow. But in the meantime, there are certainly lots of tracks to check out. I've got little bird tracks all over the deck and all over my yard. And of course, there are grouse tracks kind of weaving around through the woods, and deer tracks, and my friend Kyle Pearson saw bear track up at the bog where I work. And on that same morning, when that was just after that 3 inches of snow that came on, when was that, Thursday, I think, Wednesday night maybe. At any rate, there were coyote tracks in the trail around the road and a bear track. And a bit unusual if you were tuned in to our discussion with Dave Garshelis about bears. He had told us that most of the bears are probably hibernating or in their dens by now, but occasionally there's one, maybe a young male somewhere that didn't get the message and is up and moving about. So that apparently would help to explain that. In my yard, I shoveled out maybe a 10 by 10 square under my bird feeder. And I've been scattering millet on the ground in there. And every day I have had a huge flock of juncos, probably 25 or 30 juncos, as well as fox sparrows. They are among our largest sparrows, bright reddish red in the sense of a horse, the chestnut red, reddish tail, reddish body, reddish splotches on the breast, and a kind of a pretty little gray face mask. So check out the fox sparrow. And mixed in with the fox sparrows are also the American tree sparrows. And they're quite lovely as well. A strong white wing bar, a bright red cap on their head, and a kind of a smooth, even gray breast with a little black pin or dot in the middle of it. And so I have the juncos, fox sparrows, and tree sparrows, but I am no longer seeing the white-throated sparrows. And perhaps there are some that are just not out there yet, but or there are some that are still out there yet, but not at my house. And so perhaps if you have white-throated sparrows, you might want to send me a note and tell me that they're still in the area. I expect that 1 year I had one that stayed quite late into December, but that year didn't have as much snow early in October as we have this year. I saw a flock of trumpeter swans this week, and it brought to mind the fact that there are a lot of trumpeter swans in the state. If you go back to the early 80s when Carol Henderson and the DNR introduced the first trumpeter swans, we had a population of around 24. And I think the most recent population estimates are in the 15,000 range. So they have really, really taken off. One of the things that happened with trumpeter swans is that they weren't trained to migrate. So they don't go anywhere in the wintertime. If they have open water, they're going to stay. And that includes places like the Mississippi River, the river coming out of Gull Lake at the Gull Dam, probably any open water that's consistently open throughout the winter will house some trumpeter swans if there's a food source there. And they spend a lot of time eating vegetation off the bottom, most particularly cattail roots. So they do quite well. And as long as there's open water, they're fine. And they won't be inconvenienced by any amount of cold. they'll stay quite warm. I saw a red fox this week dashing across the snow. He looked beautiful. And just as I thought he was going to jump up and cross the road in front of me, he ducked down and disappeared into a culvert, which I thought was pretty clever. And I didn't get another look at it, but that was quite interesting. And last week on Thursday, I was driving back from the bog, and I saw this dark object on an oak limb. And as I got closer, I realized it was a porcupine. And I've seen porcupines eating a lot of different trees. And oaks tend to be among their lesser choices. The only time I've ever seen more than one porcupine in a tree, and I believe it was during the breeding season, it was in an oak. And so I don't know, maybe there's something amorous about the oak trees for the porcupines. I can't imagine that the bark is that tasty. The acorns certainly aren't very tasty if you've tried them. I also saw a rough-legged hawk this week, and that is an early sighting of rough-legged hawks. Generally, they're more November-ish or going into December. But when I saw it, it prompted me to go to The Birds of Minnesota by Thomas Roberts. It's an old book, but one of my favorites. And I read up on the rough-legged hawk, and I thought it would be interesting just to cover a short paragraph that he writes about the rough-legged. He said, "The rough-legged is one of the largest of the hawks. Its food consists almost entirely of small mammals, mostly mice, as its feet, legs, and bill are comparatively small and weak and not fitted for seizing and handling other such small quarry. Its destruction by the game wardens of the state and by farmers is a serious mistake, as it is one of the most beneficial of the hawks. If it were more generally abundant, it would be better for both agriculturalists and horticulturalists. When pressed for food, it may eat dead animals and even carrion." Dr. A.K. Fisher quotes Mr. Vernon Bailey as stating that the rough legs were unusually numerous about Elk River, Sherburne County, in the winter of 1883, and that they ate the skinned bodies of many muskrats left exposed along a trap line. The book is truly interesting. That's The Birds of Minnesota. Thomas Roberts is the author. That comes from Volume 1. And I especially enjoyed the part about the game wardens and farmers shooting hawks. And it was routinely done in the old days. And I think that one of the real benefits of education is that we have learned over the years that the rough-legged hawk and most hawks actually perform more service than they perform in terms of depredation. So it is it's amazing that we have come so far from those old days of killing off things like hawks because they thought they were eating our chickens and our animals. But truthfully, they're mostly eating the things that afflict our chickens and our animals. So I'm glad to see that times have changed. Finally, a couple of notes about some of the things that are still, some of the plants that are still green out there. Weeping willow. I have one along the river road that I pass frequently. And as I drive in the morning, I look at it and it's quite green. And just now starting to show a little bit of color. And the other member of the willow family that is quite noticeably green right now is one called Lombardy poplar. Now, this is a relative of the rest of the popple trees that we have around here. But the Lombardy is not from this area, of course. And right now, the thing that makes Lombardy poplar easy to identify is that they're very cylindrical, and they have branches from the bottom all the way to the top, and the branches are sort of swept upward. And they always remind me of like a big, this time of year, a big yellow-green cigar. And because they're kind of tapered from the top, from the bottom, and they swell in the middle, and then they taper at the top. And so watch for them. And as I've been saying right along and have said for many, many years, this time of year, if you see trees that have leaves on them still, they probably are not native to this part of the country. And so they are introduced, and they have a different phenology. My final note this week comes from the American tamaracks, and I have been so entranced with them. During that heavy snow that fell last week, they were just these ghostly kind of yellowish green shapes. Everything was white because the snow fell and collected on all of the branches, and the whole scene, the whole world seemed to be white, except for these ghostly kind of yellowish, whitish looking tamaracks. And shortly after that, the wind came up and the temperature warmed slightly, and the snow fell away from the tamaracks. And now, at least in some areas where I have been, the tamaracks are absolutely spectacular, and I have them as being at their last peak of color. And they are just gorgeous. You may have in your yard or somewhere near you a tamarack, and I put that in quotation marks, that is actually a European larch or a Japanese larch. They're of the same family, but they are not tamarack. They are larches, but they're not tamaracks, and therefore they have a different phenology. And in my yard, my European larch has just now begun to change from green to yellow, and it runs a little bit behind the native tamaracks. So check them out. That's the Phenology Show for this week. I want to thank you for tuning in. As always, if you have observations you'd like to share, please get in touch with me.